You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Everyone, my name's Rick and welcome to 2021. We made it, right? And I hope you had as good a Christmas and New Year as possible. It certainly was different. If you were able to have friends and family over, it was lovely. And yet it was all a bit odd at the same time, keeping the windows open so we are well ventilated, at the same time as trying to keep the dinner warm, being inside and yet socially distanced. In many ways, it was like a summary of much of 2020, sort of familiar, but different and a bit odd. But I wonder, what does God have for you in 2021? One of our focuses here at Jubilee Church is this idea of emerging well as we come into 2021. See, many people have described 2020 as like being in a tunnel. And for many of us, that tunnel was pretty dark. And here at Jubilee Church, we want to equip everyone to be able to emerge well into this new year. You know, I've heard it said that the most useless purchase of 2020 was a year planner. Yet, how do we emerge well from this pandemic? To start that process, over the next 3 weeks, we are going to look at three key aspects of being Jubilee Church. Loving God, loving others, loving life. Now, in one respect, those things don't change. Whatever context we find ourselves in, we are called to love God, love others, and love life. Yet in another respect, how we do those things in 2021 is different as a result of the year that we've just been through. So my hope is that over these 3 weeks, and that will actually lead us up to our Vision Sunday on the 24th of January, where Sean will set out the vision for the year. That will help to focus on the wonderful calling that God has given to us, loving God, loving others, loving life. And this week we begin with loving God. And of course, Scripture is a great place to start this journey. So if you've got your Bibles with you, please turn to Matthew 22, and we're going to be reading from verse 34 to 38. And it goes like this. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he, meaning Jesus, he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all of the prophets, the law and the prophets. You see, in this part of Matthew's gospel, different so-called experts in religious ideas and teachings were challenging Jesus. They were trying to use their knowledge of the Old Testament law and the traditions that built up around it to try and trip him up and expose him in some way. It was in many ways like intellectual snobbery. Who is this carpenter's son from some two-bit town? We are the elite, the well-schooled, and the experts in religion. We can surely show him up as a fraud or a fake. But Jesus' answer is as illuminating for us today as it was then, especially now as we're looking at this core idea of loving God. Verse 37 says this, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Now, many of us, especially if we've been around church for a while, will know this scripture well. Many of us could perhaps quote it without even needing to look it up. And yet perhaps there are others who are tuning in today and they're hearing it for the first time today. You may not be a Christian, or you may not come from a church background, and yet you're so welcome. We love having visitors tune in and join us here at Jubilee Church. And you might be hearing this great command from Jesus for the first time. Love God with all that you are. And whichever camp you find yourself in today, what I want to explore a little bit further is why. Why is loving the Lord your God with all that you've got the first and highest priority? Now, the theologians among us may go straight to obedience. And that is a great answer. Remember, this is a command from Jesus, and that alone would surely be sufficient. If you're a follower of Jesus and he commands you, commands us to love the Lord God with all that we are and all that we have, then we should do it. That is a great answer. It's true, it's solid, it's clear. Wonderful. And even though that is enough on its own, I think there is more. And there is a further reason. And probably there's a lot of other reasons, but there's one reason why we're called to love God with all that we've got and all that we are that I want to look at today. And to help us with this, I want to draw on an ancient North African brother. He is a giant in the church, and in his famous book, Confessions, St. Augustine says this in book one: "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." What a great saying. We are created by God, and he has made us for himself. And in that creation, God has placed a longing inside all of our hearts that can only find its satisfaction and fulfillment in him. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. You see, where we rest is a matter of what we love. Our hearts are created by the Infinite One. And as one author puts it, that is why it will ultimately be disappointed with anything merely finite. Could it be that part of loving God as our first and greatest priority is because only in doing so will we find the satisfaction to the longings that he has placed in our hearts? We search for that fulfillment in so many other things, whether that be power or wealth or status or family or perhaps even a spouse. And our restlessness comes from our attempts to find rest in these other things. Yet because you were created by God and for God, our ultimate satisfaction can be found in him alone. So not only does loving God with all that we have point us in the right direction to be the creatures we are made to be, that is, worshippers of God, but it also points us in the right direction to have our deepest desires fulfilled. And this is the grace and blessing of God. He commands what he knows will bring us the most fulfilled life. He commands what will bring a rest to our restless hearts. He commands that we make of first importance, of greatest importance, and of ultimate importance, loving him, because in him is life itself. And this is why in Psalm 37, verse 3 and 4, it says the following: "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord. Your version might say, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight, take delight, delight yourself. These are rich words, and they speak to our loves. Love God, delight yourself in God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Again, we see the wonderful grace of God to us here. He has made us to delight in him, and when we do so, our hearts are made full. And I hope you can see here that this is not the hard demands of a taskmaster. This is the language of love and desire and delight. This is a loving Father who created you for himself so that you will be made fully alive in him. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. In Jesus, we find our Savior. We find victory over sin and death. We find our eternity secured for us. But also, strangely, we find ourselves. We find our purpose. We find our desires. And we find our rest and our fulfillment. And this brings me to how. If we've been looking these last few moments on the why, I want to now turn to how we do this, and particularly how we do this coming out of 2020 and in the context of 2021. And just before we move on and get to the how, I want to put a thought out there for all of us to reflect on. When we look back over the journey of our faith in the past 9 months, have the things that have paused in lockdown, had they become central rather than supportive? How much has your relationship with God become dependent on a regular face-to-face meeting on Sundays? How dependent was fellowship become on in-person meetings? And how dependent has worship become on being together physically? Now, these are hard questions to face into, and yet, is it possible that God is working all things for our good in this moment by shining a light on areas that he has given to us for our good, but that somehow we have made them central rather than supportive? God so desires that we love him fully, that he will shine his light when we start to get things out of balance. Even good things, even things he has given us for our flourishing, like gathering together in person to worship, to fellowship, and to serve. But what I'm saying is that when those things become more than they ever were meant to be, and in some cases, where our ability to worship, to engage, and to fellowship had become dependent on them, God will shine his light so that our hearts are pointed back at him and not on those things that he's given to us. So today, as we continue with the sermon, pray and ask God to shine a light in your heart. And if things have gotten a bit back the front, if things that are meant to be supportive have become central, then ask the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and turn you back to loving God with all that you have. My prayer is that God would soften all of our hearts and use this time to deepen the longing in us for the way things should be, even in this moment, which seems to emphasize just how much things are not as they should be. Because when all is stripped away, when the music fades, when it's just you and him, God is inviting each one of us back to the heart of worship, and it's all about him. Let's all accept his invitation today and come back to the heart of worship. So how do you love the Lord your God with everything you have when we no longer have the same ways of doing things? How do we love in lockdown? Well, I have 4 points and they all start with P, and they all come from Paul the Apostle. So 4 P's from Paul to help us love God with all that we are in lockdown. And the reason I was drawn to Paul is because he knows a great deal about lockdown. Paul wrote a number of his letters when he was in prison. He was locked down in a way that we aren't, yet we can learn from his experience. Paul was locked down but flourished in loving God with all that he was, and in this we can learn much from Paul's experience. So the first P from Paul, presence. Paul hungered for the presence of God in every circumstance, whether in prison, whether in freedom, whether hungry or with plenty. Paul hungered for the presence of God. From his prison cell, writing to the church in Ephesus, Paul writes to this to encourage them in chapter 5 and verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So let's hunger after the Spirit of God. Let us be filled with the Spirit of God and spend as much time as possible in the presence of God. Paul encourages us here not to get distracted by other things, such as drinking too much or whatever your distraction may be, but rather point your heart towards God. Love God with all that you got. The presence of God. This is available to you through Jesus Christ, anytime, any place, anywhere. The second P from Paul is perspective. Paul writes the letter to the Colossians, again from prison, and in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, he says this: If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. See, Paul's perspective is informed and shaped by the truths and realities of God. He has allowed the Word of God and the Spirit of God to shape his heart towards the greater reality of the kingdom of God. Paul was literally writing the Bible in his letters from prison. But we have the blessing of the complete Word of God, our Holy Scripture, and it is being given to inform and shape our perspective. The Bible is the revealed will of God. We go to it and feed on God's reality, feed on God's revelation of himself and the nature of his kingdom. The Word of God is the central revelation of God. It is alive, and through the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts, it comes to shape us and inform us into the people of God. We all need guidance and help and direction and shaping and forming and pruning. The Bible, the Word of God, is the primary well that we come to in order to drink deeply from. And what an opportunity stands before us. Many of us perhaps commuted into work for an hour or more each way, every single day. And now, in this season, we're working from home. We have been granted these extra hours in the day. Let us read the Word. Let us love the Word. Let us feed on the Word. Let us drink deeply from the living waters of the Word, and let it shape us and form us and transform our perspective, transform our hearts, so that we set our minds on the things above, not on the things of this earth. The Word of God, which shapes our perspective, is freely available to you anytime, any place, anywhere. And remember, we are looking at how we can love God with all that we are and all that we have in 2021 so that we can emerge well into this year. We've looked at the first two P's from Paul, presence and perspective, and now the third P from Paul, prayer. Paul prayed. He was marked by prayer. He knew its power. In chapter 1 of Colossians and verse 9, we read this. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with all knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul prayed all the time. Paul prayed without ceasing. Paul prayed in tongues more than any of us. Paul prayed, and we can learn so much from him in lockdown. Further on in Colossians, in chapter 4, verse 2, it says this, devote yourselves to prayer. Paul's encouraging the church, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. It's a big deal. Prayer is talking to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We bring our personal requests to him. We bring our hopes and our dreams to him. We bring our church to him. We bring our nation and the nations of the world to him in prayer. Prayer, it's freely available to you anytime, any place, anywhere. And that brings us to our final P. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Paul's life in lockdown was marked by praise, worship, and thankfulness. How much we can learn from him in this. In the book of Acts, when Paul and Silas were in prison, it says this in chapter 16 and verse 25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. Then the prisoners were listening to them. Just understand this. Let's get this in our heads, in the picture in our heads, in prison, in chains, midnight, singing hymns of praise to God and praying. Paul praised. Our lives as Christians can be marked with praise and worship and thankfulness. I heard a preacher say just before Christmas, we Christians are not wringing our hands saying, what has the world come to? No, we Christians looking to Jesus say, look who has come into the world. Our eternity is secure. We have been saved by Jesus from sin and death. We live today in the kingdom of God, and our hope is the kingdom fully come. We were once dead, and we have been made alive in Christ. Praise, worship, and thankfulness should forever be on our lips. Let us be a people known for our praise, our worship, and our thankfulness, especially in 2021. Praise, it's freely available to you anytime, any place, anywhere. Presence, perspective, prayer, and praise. The four P's from Paul's lockdown to help us love God with all we got in 2021. I pray that God work mightily in your hearts this year and shape you and form you to be the people he has made you to be, and that you love him with all that you are, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind in every circumstance that we will journey through together. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you and have a great week.